Good day, friends. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ are on the air once again with a program of Bible truth. We begin a new series today that we're simply going to entitle, Look at the Word of God. This will be 8 sermons that will go from one part of the Word of God to another, dealing with those things that we should take a long, clear look at as we view our life and truly the teaching of the Bible. We want to take a look at light, recognizing light to be very essential. I'm very much impressed when I read back there in Genesis 1 and 3 that God said, Let there be light on the first day, and light became a reality. It's interesting to note that light became a reality sometime before the sun, moon, and stars were created. Light being created on the first day, but the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. Someone might say, How is this possible? Well, of course, with God, all things are possible. We're aware of the fact that when we get to heaven, we are told in the writing in Revelation that there will be no need for sun because God will be the light. Now, God and Jesus Christ were together in this wonderful creation. The Spirit of God truly moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis 1 and 2, so we understand the Spirit of God was present. So all those ingredients that are so necessary for physical creation were there at the time of the creation. So light was created, which indicates to us that man needs light in physical surroundings for his life to exist upon this earth. What if there truly were no light? We'd be in a very precarious position. But this is just a prelude to something that's even more important, and that's the light that must come into the life of men. And that light, of course, comes from Jesus, the light of the world, and from God, his Father. Those of you that want to follow us for the next few moments as we discuss taking a look at the Word of God, we ask you to go with us to the first chapter of 1 John. While you're finding that place, if you care to find it, we simply want to say that your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast have you and your entire family in mind. The congregation that sponsors this series on this station will invite you to their services, and they want to be a profound help and interest in any way that they possibly can to you and your entire family. We refer to this as a broadcast that is not a substitute for church attendance, but we refer to it as a spiritual assistant or a spiritual service. And by the service we mean, it can help you and your family come to know more about God's Word. Let us look here at verse 5 in this outstanding first chapter of 1 John. It simply says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, this interesting factor is spoken of in the first part of the verse. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I would understand that when John writes this, that he's talking about his personal approach in this general epistle to those who are in Christ Jesus. Men and women who are found in sin today should realize that the light that he's speaking about here that comes from God is the thing that can actually make manifest the things that ought to be in their life. You see, a lot of people, it would seem, do not want to be involved in religion, or they do not want to be involved with Christianity. They just want to lead their own life. But isn't it an interesting thing when you begin to look at it, if we do not want to become involved with God in this life, we have yet the judgment ahead. We have something beyond this veil of tears, and there we will be involved with God. When you read the accounting that's found in the last part of the 25th chapter of Matthew, you will note that when the great judgment was set, there was a division between the sheep and the goats, as they were termed. The goats were put on the left hand, which truly was the position of those who were unrighteous or those who did not choose to walk in the light, and on the right hand were the beloved sheep that truly were going to receive the acclamation and the invitation, Come, ye blessed of my Father, into the home prepared for you. So might we say that light is essential not alone to your physical life, but even more so to your spiritual life. Let's notice the teaching that is mentioned here. He speaks about those in verse 6 and saying that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, the point is that if you're living in sin as an alien sinner today, you're in a state of darkness. Paul referred to this very transition that had taken place in the life of the Colossian brethren when he said in Colossians 1:13, that they had been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So I want you to note that we're telling you what the Bible says on the broadcast today. It is not just a human opinion that if you're in sin today, that you're in darkness. Now, what's going to be your condition? Are you going to continue on in darkness? You can see that situations will not get better as one continues on in darkness. Well, I'm led to believe that some may say, well, the privacy of darkness would be a benefit to me. And of course, the Bible brings out the point that people who have to conceal their life or the deeds of their life, that they do appreciate darkness to a certain extent. But if you want to read about the darkness, that certainly would give us some indication of what he's talking about here. Think of the darkness, the plague that came upon the Egyptians in the land of Egypt as recorded in Exodus. This darkness was so bad that you could feel it. But the darkness that he's talking about here will cause us to experience more than just feeling. It will bring to our life, before we have finished the whole score, pain, remorse, and regret. You know, we have the opportunity in the many years we preach the gospel to talk to a lot of people who are finding their life at the present time, we might say, in darkness. And we find that those people many, many times are trying to make others think that the walk that they're taking in this life is really not a dark walk at all. Maybe they think they've got their eyes acquainted to the darknesses about them. But you see, this leads to a dismal course. Someone says, well, there are many who are following this way. It's much like the idea of the Epicureans, who seem to have the philosophy that they were to eat, drink, and be merry. This was why they were living upon the earth. But the final caption was, for tomorrow we die. The darkness that's found in this life will only be, we might say, a prelude to those who will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that's a terrible picture. And we want to say that we do not have to remain in that state. The light may come first just as a small speck, and then we begin to see that those things that are found in the light make this life even a more outstanding life. You know, I've thought many times as we've gone across the country preaching the gospel, and I mentioned this to congregations time and time again. And I want to mention to you on the broadcast today, no doubt you have thought of how many people in this world have turned to the Lord, and then perhaps after a period of time they have wandered back into the world. You know, when you interview those people and talk to them about their transition from righteousness back into the world, you never do find even one person that says that the Christian life that I lived at one time was a bad life. The worst decision I made in my life was to come out of darkness into spiritual light. You never heard one person ever say that. Now, I find many times there are people who have never walked in the light, and there are people who have been in the light for a period of time and then have fallen back into the world, that many, many times these people regret. Many, many times they become so enmeshed with habits and associates and concerns in this life that it becomes nearly impossible, it would seem, at least in their thinking, to come from the mire of sin. But if we walk in the light, he says in verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The thing that stands out as we talk about light here in that seventh verse is that he's writing to Christians. Even those who are in Christ Jesus who commit sin are close to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Keep this thought in mind, that when you are born again, you become a part of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Paul made this plain in Galatians 3:27, when he said, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, of course, you put on a spiritual body, which Ephesians 1:22 and 23, as well as Colossians 1:18, simply mentions the church being his body, of which Christ is the head. Now, your physical body is very close to the blood as it courses through the veins and arteries of your body. So your physical body is associated with blood. The spiritual body of Jesus is associated with blood that offers both forgiveness and life. When one is actually finding his way in the ways of sin, And he sees the glorious gospel. He hears that word. He believes it. He repents from the depths of his heart, turning his back upon sin. He confesses with his or her mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, a most noble confession. And then is baptized into Jesus Christ. All of his sins, because of his faith in the Lord, are taken away. Paul spoke of his conversion in Acts 22:16. He said that he arose and was baptized. He was told to do this, and we're assured that he did it. And it was to wash away his sins, that he might call on the name of the Lord. At Pentecost, about 3,000 souls who were guilty of murder gladly received the word and were baptized. They were baptized, according to Acts 2:38, for the remission or for the forgiveness of their sins. That's the deliverance from the power of darkness and the entrance into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, isn't it a wonderful thing that even if we are Christians, that when we do commit sin, we do not repent and be baptized then. As Christians, we repent and pray if perhaps the thought of the heart might be forgiven us. Well, this light is going to grow brighter as we go through life, for we never walk alone, and that beautiful city, the New Jerusalem, the heaven, where there will be no need for sun because God is the light, will be our ultimate end. I want to say, friends, it's been good to chat with you for this quarter hour. Tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Listen for Time of Services at the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. And come back next week as we take another look at the Word of God. I trust you'll find it interesting as we look into this Word of the Lord that is perfect to convert the soul.